Morning, church. Man, it's so good to see you all today. Hey, I just wanted to, again, thank you all for coming first this morning, welcoming all of our visitors and first-time guests if you've come this morning. I know that coming into a new place sometimes, it's a little bit intimidating, but this church is your church. It's really important for you to know that this church is your church. It doesn't belong to anyone else. This church is your church. It belongs to all of us. We all come together to worship God, and so really glad you're here this morning. Church, I also want to just commend you for, the last 4 weeks we've been in this Plus One series and definitely talking about how we can bless one Buhoma, the kids there, sponsoring them through World Vision. And we've, the latest tallies, we've probably got around 200, if not even over a little bit of that. So can we just praise God for just awesome work. Yeah. And so it was just so neat, I think, for us to know, and at least for me to see, too, is that it's not just the English congregation, but it's the English and Chinese. We're moving in this together, and we've all together, this one church, has sponsored this community, and we're connected. You know, we're going to be plugged in. And how many of you have gotten your kit? Awesome, right? How many of you have written already? Okay, yeah. So, all right, so be sure to write those letters and write those postcards, and if you haven't been onto the website yet, it's so awesome. You can actually email your kids, send pictures to your kids. I mean, right there. It makes it so easy to do. Just a great and practical way to show the love of Easter to Plus One. And so we actually, today is the last day that we'll have tables downstairs where you can sponsor kids, okay? So just want to encourage you really to think about doing that, to go ahead and just do it, okay? Take a step of faith and just do it. All right. Let me begin with the message this morning. On January 28th this year, there was a doctor named Dr. Zenko Hyunkyu. He performed emergency surgery on a dying patient at Trinity Medical Center, and he saved the person's life. Now, what makes this news story worthy of talking about is that when he received this particular call, this person who needed this emergency surgery, he was 6 miles away at a different hospital and stuck in the middle of a very severe snowstorm. And he tried to drive to the hospital, but he couldn't get there. There was just, the roads were too bad. There was gridlock. There was abandoned cars and things like that. The hospital and local authorities tried to give him a ride to the hospital that was 6 miles away to perform this surgery, but they weren't able to make it to him either. So with no help in sight, and this patient who needed this surgery was dying, Dr. Zenko, he just decided that he was going to walk it. And so he did. He walked 6 miles. At one point, he lost his footing on a hill. He fell down a hill. 5 hours later, he made it to Trinity Hospital, performed the surgery, and saved the patient's life. And Dr. Zenko is 62 years old. I love stories like that, right? When I hear stories like that, it makes me, remember that there's still good, that there's still extravagant compassion and love in this world. It kind of makes you want to, do a fist pump, right? To celebrate a collective win for all of humanity, that they're still good. When you read stories like that, do you ever wonder where that kind of love and commitment comes from? I think that kind of love only comes from God. Whether you're a believer or not, I think that kind of love or commitment only comes from God. When I think of SCAC, and I think of our church sponsoring over 200 some kids that we've never met before in a country that probably none of us except for Angel and Pauline have ever been to, and we're going to sponsor this community, and we're going to develop, a relationship with them, with these kids and families for the next 10 to 15 years. And, I did a little bit of the math of all the money. If we sponsor 300 some kids, it's going to be over this lifetime, it's going to be probably like several million dollars. Where does that kind of love come from? I think it can only come from God. We got our sponsorship kit in, and so I think it was this past either Wednesday or Thursday. So myself and Mia and Mason and I put it on Facebook, the letter that we wrote to our child, and it was just a lot of fun, and we were so excited. We felt like this was our son. We felt like this was our brother, and we were just so invested in this one person this child that we've never met. We want to know everything about him. We can't wait to meet him one day. Where does that kind of love and compassion come from? I think that kind of love and compassion can only come from God. And as you've been tracking, with this series, we've been talking about just the reason that we can love like this is because God loves like this. And theologians call this a communicable attribute of God. I know it's kind of a big term. But what it means is that because God loves, because God is a God of love, that we can love too, that we have that same capacity, right? But there's also something called the incommunicable attribute of God. And the incommunicable attribute is this, is that while God can love everyone, that God can come and love everyone passionately to the cross, all across all humanity, across all time, across all space, that God loves, that we can't do that, right? We can plus one people to a degree, but not to the same degree that God can. God can plus one all of history and all of humanity, but we don't have that same capacity. Even Facebook says you can only have 5,000 friends, right? After 5,001, you know, the Facebook universe will implode. I don't know what happens after that, right? But we've been talking about this series. In this series, we've been talking about, we've been pushing you guys. We've been challenging you guys intentionally to look for ways to plus one another person into your life, to develop new relationships, to deepen someone's that you already have or that are in trouble. And we've been challenging you to plus one God, to plus one Jesus. We've talked about plus one-ing the other, the person that's really different from you, maybe skin color, maybe values, maybe sexual orientation, to plus one that person, to plus one the city, to plus one Beacon Hill, Dearborn, to plus one Buhoma. And to do this, this is what's really important, is we don't want you to plus one people because it's a special project, because it's a certain sermon series, because it's a certain season of your life where, hey, you know, the church is doing this, it's a really good thing. No, we want you to plus one and have that, wrestle with this so that God would change your heart, so that your heart would be a plus one heart, so that your heart would be an open heart, because that is the heart of God. The heart of God is always has room for one more person in his circle, at his table. Now, again, we can't plus one everyone. But there's a lot of us, when we talk about the holy huddle of church, right? We don't want our church to be a holy huddle. It goes a little bit further than that. It's not just the holy huddle of church. It's the holy huddle of just you. It's just the holy huddle of your individual life. Because if the only person in your life is going to, if you're just going to plus one yourself, you're going to minus one your soul. Because our souls are meant to expand. Our souls are meant to breathe. Our souls are meant to love. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me over maybe the past 2 years as we continue to get out of the holy huddle of our church, they ask the question, do you think our church can really be that open? Do you think people, you know, can really be that open? And my answer is yes. Really easy, right away. Of course, yes. Because I've already seen the ways, and you've heard about the different ways, if you've been here for the past couple of months, seen the ways that God is expanding our hearts and opening our hearts. But the real reason, the original reason, the reason I think that any church or any people can be a plus one and open and invitational people is because of Easter. I don't need any other evidence except for just because it's all because of Easter. When Jesus took his last breath on the cross, when all the weight of humanity's sins and consequences were upon him, the Bible says that the skies became dark. There was an earthquake. The curtain was separated in the holy place, from the holy place, from the holy of holies. And it was that curtain was torn from top to bottom. So that's in Mark chapter 15. Let's stand, and we're going to responsively read this passage together, okay? I'll go first, all right? Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed,
"This man truly was the Son of God."
Next slide. Next slide. He is risen.
Amen,
church. Have a seat. Now, this morning, what I want to talk about to close up this series and to celebrate Easter today is I want to talk about curtains, okay? I want to talk about curtains. Now, most of us don't have curtains in our home, right? A lot of us, that's kind of old school. A lot of us have blinds, which basically serve the same purpose. The point of having a curtain is privacy. It's to keep people out on the outside from having access to what's going on inside. And so it's the same way with the temple that we're talking about. The temple was this place where it was divided into thirds. It was a place where God was, where heaven met earth. And it was divided up into thirds. And the outermost third was the place of the Gentiles, the place of the Israelite, the men and the women. That was the largest third of the temple. Then when you moved in a little bit closer to the center of the temple, there was this place called the Holy Place. That was reserved just for the priests. And then there was this curtain that this scripture talks about that was torn from top to bottom. This curtain separated the holy place from what was the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was the inner sanctuary. It was this one place where once a year, where only this one person, where this one place on planet Earth, right, where the high priest was able to go in to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. And so it was this very exclusive place, only one location on Earth, one time a year, only one person could go in, because this was the place where holiness was. This is the place where God dwelt. This is the place where heaven met earth. And in order to keep this place holy, well, you don't allow people to go in there, right? Because as long as you allow a person to go in there, it doesn't become holy anymore. And so it's really interesting, right, that at the moment that Jesus died, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all comment that the curtain in the temple was torn. It was ripped from top to bottom. Why did that happen? Was God just sick of that curtain? Did he not really like that color? Well, the answer is in the text, right? It was torn from top. God initiated it. It was torn from top, from heaven to earth. It was torn from top to bottom. God took the initiative to love. What God did was he removed the barrier between us and him. And that barrier is sin. Sin, your sin, my sin, is what separates us between God. And it's just this amazing mystery of what happened when Jesus died on the cross. That when Jesus died on the cross, all the penalty for our sin, right? Because we've all been sinned against. And when someone sins against us, we feel like they owe me. They feel like there's some payment that needs to be given back to me. In some mysterious way, we don't exactly know how, but all the consequences of sin and the justice that should have been given, repaid back because of our sin, all of that, instead of being placed upon ourselves, was placed on the cross. And Jesus died the death. Jesus paid the price for all of our sins and the ultimate consequence of sin, which is death. And all that justice demands of sin, when you think of all the injustice in this world and say, someone needs to pay for this, all of that was paid. All of that was put on the cross, and Jesus paid for it. Why? Because he doesn't like curtains. Jesus just doesn't like curtains. He doesn't like anything that would divide him and us. He says, there's this curtain of wall that's between us. You know, I'm holy, and it's just kind of all kept there, and there's a sin that separates us. I want to take this curtain out of the way. I don't want anything to divide us. I want us to be like this. And so instead of us paying the penalty for that death, for our sin, Jesus says, I'm going to pay it so that you don't have to, so that we can be in relationship. And so God, he took the initiative to love. It was torn from top to bottom. God took the initiative to love. So give in. That should be our response, our first response. God took the initiative to love us, so give in. We just got back from Maryland. You know, we were back in Maryland. Gosh, it's been 5 or 6 years since we've been back there. Angel and I are both back there. Her parents are there. And so when we went back, you know, one of the things you always have to deal with, right, especially with relatives and good friends is too, is that we ate a lot, okay? We ate a lot, right? You could tell. And at the end of the meal, it's who's going to pay, right? And you always have this battle of who's going to pay, and you bring the credit card. And so we had a couple of those battles, and it's getting kind of tiring. And so we got tricky, and Angel would say, I'm going to go use the bathroom. And so she would go to the bathroom and then slip the credit card to the waitress, right? And then her mom did the same thing at the next meal, right? It was just getting ridiculous, right? And I was just like, man, you know what? This is just it was getting ridiculous, because every meal was just like this tension. And in my mind, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give in. I didn't say it out loud. I still argued. But, you know, I said to myself, I'm just going to give in, because it was ridiculous. But you know what? It was just giving in to the generosity, the kindness of grandparents who just want to bless you, who just want to be generous towards you, who love you. See, when it comes to the love of God, maybe some of you are, whether you're Christian or non-Christian when you're here, some of us, you're actually fighting against God. It might not feel like exactly that's it, but you're actually fighting against the generosity of God. For some of you that are Christians, you doubt the love of God, or you're trying to earn his love, the response of the cross is to give in to his love. It's to surrender to his love. It's to receive his love. For those of you, maybe you've never invited Jesus into your lives, and you're wrestling with what it means to follow Jesus. And what I want to encourage you with is just to remember that Christianity is not an ideology. That Christianity, that following Jesus, it doesn't make you a Republican or a Democrat. You follow a person. The God of the universe, your Father in heaven, he's the one who will lead you and guides you and loves you and gives you wisdom. He will lead you into all righteousness. He will give you the abundance of life that you have been searching for and asking for. You need to give in to his love. Now, the writer of Hebrews, he gives another result of this curtain being torn down. It's so cool, I think, when you have another biblical writer looking at a passage of scripture or looking at a particular historical event, and he gives his first century understanding of what happened with this curtain. So in Hebrews, you don't need to turn there, it says this. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, that we can enter into that most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, he's talking about Jesus, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. And so what he's saying is that because of this curtain, because it's been torn from top to bottom, that God invites us to step into his presence. Because the curtain is now removed, that God invites us to step into his presence. But what's really important is this. Notice the way that the writer says that we ought to enter into God's presence. He says this. He says, boldly enter. He says, let's go. Like it's excitement. You know, it's like, someone follow me. Let's go. I've got something good over here. Come, you know, check this out. Let's go. Excitement. And he says, with sincere hearts, fully trusting. And so you step in by stepping up. And I think this is really difficult for us sometimes. Because going into the presence of God, you know, it feels like it's going to be really intimidating. If you ever been in the presence of maybe like, you know, when you're in college and you went to go talk to your professor, right? Or, you know, you meet a CEO or someone high up in the company, or you meet a politician or something, you tend to feel in those moments really small, right? You tend to feel really insecure about yourself. But the writer says that when it comes to going into God's presence, you don't need to feel that way. You don't need to have this great intimidation factor. It's not like that. Instead, what you need to do is you need to believe. You need to believe that you belong. And this isn't overconfidence. This isn't overcompensating. This is not about having a super ego. What the writer says there is to have a sincere heart. He says, go in with this sincere heart. The way I would phrase it, the way I would say it is, have this peaceful assurance that you can be in the presence of this person and be absolutely safe. You're completely vulnerable because it's the God in the universe. He knows everything about you, but he's not there to squash you. He's there to love you and accept you. You come with this assurance that he's fully forgiven you, that he fully loves you, that he fully receives you, who you are, that you have a place in the kingdom of God, that you have a right to be in the presence of God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has taken away all of your sins. That's the only way that you can stand in a right standing, righteous before God. And so if you could, just think about that. I mean, let that sink in into your heart and soul for a second. How would you feel? How would life be different if you knew that you were fully loved by God? How would you feel about yourself if you knew that you were fully accepted by God? You wouldn't need to compare yourself with others anymore. You wouldn't have this anxiety, intimidation factor with people, you know, these different power differences and structures in this world. You wouldn't be filled with fear anymore. You wouldn't feel insecure around certain people anymore. You wouldn't need to shrink back in developing another relationship with someone that's very different from you. You wouldn't need to have control over the messy circumstances in life. Why? Because God is your assurance. Because God is your salvation. You belong to God, and God belongs to you. And so God invites us to step into his presence. Why? Because he wants us to step up, to come boldly, right? Let's go. Let's go. That's what it says. The gospel allows us to get over ourselves. You see that? It allows us to get over ourselves. If we're not always thinking about ourselves, if we can be peaceful in his presence, we can be peaceful in anyone's presence. And it allows us to get over ourselves so that we can get on to the fullness of life, so that we can get on stepping into the power of the kingdom and doing the will of the Father. You know, I love how Lisa, last week, she shared, because she shared in our deacon board meeting as well, that when she sponsored one child, right, she's deciding to sponsor on one child, she just felt like, you know, this is just too safe. It's just too safe to just do one child. And she said, so I'm going to sponsor a second child. And I love that. That's what Easter does to you. You become so secure. As a believer and a person who's fully loved by Christ, you become so secure that you're willing to take risks of faith. I love that paradox. There's this amazing paradox that happens. As a believer, and when the gospel begins to just kind of overtake you and you begin to understand what it's doing to your identity, you become so secure, you're willing to be insecure. You become so secure, you're willing to be vulnerable in front of others. You become so secure that you're willing to absorb other people's, you know, they say something bad against you or, you know, they do something sinful against you. You're actually able to absorb it. You're so secure, you're willing to make yourself insecure, and it's fun, and it's freeing, and it's inspiring, and it's contagious. And I know that because I'm sure that some of you, after like hearing Lisa's testimony, I'm sure some of you like said, yeah, I need a plus one more. You know, I need a plus one more child. And so, you know, don't suppress that. That's God speaking to you. And it's so contagious, too. When we live this life, when we're going out there, it's so contagious, too. Just a quick story. Last month, there was this, there's a woman, her name's Suzette, and she's a parent at Dearborn. I've never met her before, but last month she dropped off this big, thick stack of papers on my desk. Again, never met her before, never seen her, but there was a stack of papers waiting on my desk, probably about 50 to 75 pages, double spaced, you know, and there's just a post-it note on it that said, read this and call me, okay? So I didn't really read it because, you know, I don't know who this person is, but, you know, I just scanned through the documents, okay? I scanned through the documents, and what it was about all this grant money that's available to the city, that was given to the city of Seattle, and it's available for different nonprofits and things like that. And it was a document on how we could apply for this money, especially for doing preschools and things like that. Don't worry, we're not doing any preschool, at least not right now. And so about 2 weeks ago, I finally met her downstairs, just happened to see her, and just kind of immediately clicked, and she said, Roy, the reason I gave you that is because there are thousands of dollars that come. So I found out, Suzette, okay, she works for the city of Seattle for the Department of Education, okay? And she says, Roy, I see thousands of dollars come through my desk every day, and all I keep thinking about is Seattle Chinese Alliance Church. It's just really cool. And then she went on to say this. She said, I've always believed that I'm here for a reason. She meant at her job for a reason. And that I live on Beacon Hill for a reason. And maybe one of the reasons is to help you. That's just amazing. You know, I didn't know what to say, you know, at that point. Again, a person that I've never met before. But I was just floored. I was just kind of really taken aback. I kind of closed myself in a way, but just so taken aback that it's not my faith. Church, it's our faith. As we're seeking to be a plus one church, that it's the faith of us collectively together, that it inspires, that it's contagious, not only people here out there in the community, as it should be, that our willingness to take risks is inspiring others to take up faith, to take risks of faith. That's what the writer says when he says, come boldly into the presence of God. You can come boldly into the presence of God. Ask for anything. Dream of anything. Life without limits. Faith beyond our borders. Walk upon the waters. That's what Easter does. That's what Easter does. It tears down all those other old ideas that you're not good enough for God's love, that you're not acceptable enough to be in his presence, that you're not responsible enough to, that God would pay attention to you, that you're not successful enough, that God would want to use you. No, guys, just the way you are, just where you are, Jesus pursued you to the cross. With all your sin and all your baggage, Jesus pursued you to the cross. With everything that you are and all the things you're proud of and all the things that you would never tell your best friend, God loves you where you are. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And so the more then that you surrender to God's love, what happens is the more confident you become in that love. And the more confident you become in that love, the greater risk you'll take for his love. Can a church, can a people be a plus one people? Absolutely. All because of Easter. All because of Easter. And then finally, the last one. That curtain, right? It was torn from top to bottom. So not only does it mean that people can have access to God, but it also means that Jesus got loose. It also means that God got loose, that he came out in a brand new way. You see, when that curtain was up, remember, it was just that one location in Jerusalem, in that one place, once a year, only that one person, right, where holiness was experienced. But with the curtain down, now it could be anywhere. People could experience God anytime. A miracle could happen with anyone, any place. When the curtain came down, it's not just people who could get in, but now God is getting out. Now God is reoccupying this world. The sacred is not just in the temple. It's not just in a church. The sacred is everywhere. This whole world is sacred. All of life is sacred. And so you never know where Jesus is going to appear. That's what Jesus meant when he preached the gospel. When he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Near who? Near you. Near where? He's everywhere. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God, he said it poetically. John, he said it so poetically, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that word in the Greek for dwelling, that he made his dwelling among us, it's the same word for tabernacle, for the temple. That God is making his temple now among us, among us. And so what that means is that God is on the loose. It means that God is on the loose. And that God, he just doesn't like curtains. And God, he doesn't like big, bulky stones either. He tore the curtain and he tossed the boulder to the side. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus is on a mission. He's unstoppable. And that means God is on the loose. And I love that, the way that God is on the loose. Do you notice that after the resurrection, the way that his disciples experienced Jesus, it was kind of strange, but it kind of makes a lot of sense. It feels a lot like if we experience him today. It always seems that the disciples they had a hard time finding him, yet he was always there. For example, when Mary, right? Mary, she goes to the tomb. She runs to the tomb, and she doesn't know where Jesus is, and she's speaking to the gardener, but then she realizes that the gardener, that the person she's speaking to, is Jesus. They're the two disciples. They're traveling on the village to Emmaus. And they're talking about spiritual things that's happening in their lives. And then a stranger comes along, and they invite him, and they talk about the spiritual things. They invite him to dinner, and after this stranger blesses the food and breaks the bread, they realize the stranger was Jesus. The disciples, they lock themselves in an upper room, talking about Jesus and waiting for things of God, and then Jesus appears. And then you have Peter. Peter is fishing, right, after the death. Peter's gone back to his old ways, and he's fishing, and then a stranger calls from the shore and says, hey, throw out your net on the other side. And he throws out his net, and he catches all this fish. His nets are about to break, and he realizes, hey, it's Jesus who told me to do that. It's like Jesus can be seen in one moment. He can't be seen in the one moment, but in the next moment, it's obvious that he's been there all along. Does that sound familiar? The way that God works? Sometimes we're not really sure if Jesus has been there, but then when we look back, when we take that moment to look back, we see that Jesus has been there all along because God is on the loose. And since God is on the loose, our response then should be is that we need to go out with him. If God is on the loose, let's go out with him. And when you go out into the world, you discover and you find out that God is already there. That God is already there, even with, let's say, you know, your enemy. Anyone have an enemy here? People you don't like, people you don't get along with. And you actually discover, and if you would plus one them, you actually discover that God is already there with them. Jesus also said this. Remember, he said this. I tell you the truth. Whenever that you clothe, whenever you feed, whatever you did for the least of these that you did for me. Who are the least of these in our world? It's the people that on the margins, the people we tend to ignore. And as Christians, it's the people who don't share the same values as us. And God says there's something supernatural that happens, that when you go and feed them, that when you clothe them, that when you protect them, when you stand up for them, that there's something that you're doing where you're actually doing it for Jesus. There's a way that when you actually clothe and when you feed and you love those that are on the margins, you're actually feeding and clothing and supporting and advocating Jesus. And when we love them, we love Jesus. And when we ignore them, we're ignoring Jesus. Why? Because people are holy ground. And the Apostle Paul, he gets this as well. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. He says, whatever you do, do it as if you're working for God. Do it for Jesus. As if you were serving him, because you are. So whatever you do, whether it's volunteer or it's paid, whether you're in your cubicle or your office, your counter, your desk, your school, remember that God is on the loose, that you're on holy ground, And we gather here in this church, in this place, to remember that it's not only holy in this place, but it's holy out there. No more. You know, after we do this series, yeah, I know, but like in my ideal world, right, after we finish this series, it's like every single one of us has been wrestling with this. We're so transformed that like we're just going to be so sick and tired of a church that's just inward focused, that's just so concerned about its building or its grounds or, you know, whatever it might be. And we just say, you know what, no more of this holy huddle stuff, but we're going to go out and our job is the plus one, because that's who God is. And we're not going to do it for a season. We're not going to do it because it's a cool thing to do, or you can put it on Facebook, but because it is the heart of God. So my job and your job, because of Easter, because the curtain is down, because the tomb, the stone is removed, is to go out with Jesus, to go plus someone. Go plus someone with AIDS. Go plus one children in Africa so they don't have to walk 5 hours a day just to get clean water. Go plus one a child and teach them how to read. And I'm serious about this. We have kids in our after-school program. They're in fourth grade. They're in fifth grade, and they don't know how to read. I tutor a child like that. We have kids in our community who don't know how to read. That's injustice. None of us should stand for that. Every child should know how to read and write and do math. Go plus one a child so that they have a mentor, someone that teaches them how to dream. Because I think every child should dream. Go plus somebody at work because everybody needs a friend. Go plus one and build a house for somebody with Habitat for Humanity. Go plus one a couple whose marriage is falling apart. Go plus one unwed teenage mom. Because so many of those lives and the lives of those child, they just fall in a trash heap. Have the courage to plus one somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that is seeking to take that next spiritual step, whatever it takes. Bless a child. Teach a student. Love a neighbor. God and Jesus, they've already gone, and the Spirit have already gone into this world. And what you'll find is that not only are they already there, they're waiting for you to plus one others. That's what he's doing, and you can do that too. Because of Easter. Not because we're so smart, not because we have so much money, because of Easter, because of what God has done. And so the question really at the end of today and the end of this series, and as we celebrate Easter, with the curtain torn and the boulder tossed aside, the question is this, is what curtain is there? What curtain, what wall is in your heart that keeps you from plus wanting someone else? Because especially for you that have, if some of you are new and visiting today, and I'm so glad you're here, but some of you especially have been with this series for the last 7 weeks, and we talk about plus one, and we talk about plus one, but there's, every time I say that, and every one time the speaker has come here and said that, there's something in you that says, no, I don't want a plus one, not anymore, and you have something against another person in this church. You might have something against this church. I don't know what it is. You have something against something that's keeping you blocked from plus wanting, from expanding your heart.
What I'll tell you this is whatever prejudice that you might have against another person, against the church, against the churches in general, or whatever it is that's keeping you, I guarantee you God does not have that same prejudice. That is not Jesus' heart. You might think it's Jesus' heart. It may feel like it, but that is not God's heart. Why? Because for the last 7 weeks, we've been talking about how open God's heart is. God does not reject anyone. God doesn't say, nope, not good enough. Nope, not clean enough. Nope, not responsible enough. Nope, not successful enough. He just doesn't do that. Nope, you're not my kind of people. God receives everyone. Who does God want you to plus one? What does God want you to plus one in your life? And what is it? What is it in you that when you hear that, it's just like, boom, nope. It's like a shield you've got in your heart. Boom, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it, God. You're not going to get me. Easter is all about God tore the curtain down. He says, I'm going to be completely vulnerable to all humankind. I tell them I died on the cross, you know, and I love them so much, you know what, but they're going to still sin against me. And we all do. He makes himself completely vulnerable and open to us. Why aren't you being open? Why aren't you being vulnerable? Because if the Spirit of God is in you, the Spirit of our Father in heaven, he's in us, what he's seeking to do is to make our hearts explode, be wide open to receive and to love and to just be passionate, to go boldly forth, to join him who's on the loose. And so what I've done is, if you can reach under your seat, especially this row right here, only the people on the outer edge of this row, you're going to find some pieces of black cloth, okay? And if you could just take that and take one and pass it down, okay? And if there's, when you have too many, because some of you, there's going to be like extra, just pass it up, okay? Because there's some people in the back that probably don't have one. Got it? Thanks, Yen. Yeah. So if you got extra, pass it back, okay? Just keep passing it back because there's people in the back that need some. And just to help you out, okay, so just so you know, we're gonna tear this. This is a symbol, okay? This is symbolic of the wall of the curtain that's in our heart. God already tore his down, made himself completely vulnerable to us. But what is it in you that keeps you from plus money another person, a cause, whatever it is that God wants you to do? What's the curtain? What's the wall in your heart that needs to come down? And so we're going to pray over that, and there's a little cut that's already been made for you, okay? Because if you try to do it the other way, it won't work, all right? It's not that you're not strong or you don't need your boyfriend to help you or something like that, but it's right here, okay? You can tear it down the middle. But what I want to do right now is, as the worship team just go ahead and plays, just take a minute of silence. That's what I want us to do. And I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about Jesus, and I want you to think about Easter. And I want you to think about the curtain being torn, and I want you to think about the boulder that was tossed to the side. God says, I don't like walls. I don't like curtains. All those things do, all they do is just obscure. You just keep people apart. God is in you. God is with you so that you would do the same, so that you wouldn't be scared anymore. You wouldn't be filled with anxiety and fear anymore. But your heart can be open to love. And when your heart is open to love, man, sometimes it's going to happen. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. And maybe that's the reason why some of you, your heart is already closed. It's because you've been hurt before by someone else because you were open. But Jesus, he does that over and over again with us. And I know we can't do that over again with all humanity, but what God is calling us to is that because of Christ, there is hope, even in our pain, even when we're hurt, even when we take that risk to love. And even if we get hurt or disappointed, it's not about us. It's the fact that we took the risk to love, just like Jesus did. We took that willingness, that step to sacrifice for someone else, just like Jesus did. There's nothing more Christ-like than that. He wants us to be that kind of people. He wants us to have that kind of heart. That heart is expansive. That heart is nuclear. It explodes. That heart is contagious. A heart that loves deeply and loves passionately and is willing to even be hurt in order that people might know the love of Christ. So, again, I'm going to give you 1 minute. What is it in your heart? What is it? Was it pride? Is it greed? Well, I don't know what it might be that's holding you back from plus wanting someone else, something. Would you just go ahead and just think of those two things? Think about Jesus, who's taken down all the walls. And think about the wall. What is it that's keeping you from plus wanting someone else? And then as a symbolic act of, we're just going to tear that wall down with the help of Jesus, because he already did that. And then on the count of three, we'll tear this cloth apart. So again, go ahead, church, 1 minute. And I want you to speak with God. Amen, church. Let's do this together. Let's all stand. It's going to be a cool moment. Get to hear the rip together. All right. Whatever it is that's holding you guys back, all right, on the count of three, just by faith, okay, we're going to rip it. And by the count of three, this is just a faith thing that we're doing, okay? This isn't magical or anything like that, right? This is a faith thing, right? Whatever it is that's holding you back that you know God wants you to tear down, okay? It's going to be gone from our lives, all right? One, two, three. Amen. Amen. Freedom. Let's sing.